Oh dear, all of a sudden she starts speaking English here. What is this? Very warm welcome to my podcast that is called Viktigt på riktigt by Karin Coach. And in English it would be What Really Matters? What really matters to you, dear listener? You will have the opportunity to meet a fantastic person today in my podcast. And he has done what I can't say what he has done so far. To give him the space, I will introduce ingen mer eller mindre Mårten Berbres. Here we are.
Thank Welcome. You. Thank you. Thank you. So appreciated to come here. Really.
Oh, wow. And dear listener, we speak English today because Mårten is nowadays mostly situated in South Africa. What are you doing there, Mårten? Please tell us.
Yes, I'm here in South Africa right now. I'm in Port Elizabeth, and I'm here because I can see such an opportunity in a way that we can help people here to see how they can work with recycling in an easy way, and they will get something out of it. And I have started like a project called Do to Get. Easy like that.
Oh, wow. Easy like that. Do to Get. And you had made this summary really, really beautiful that the listener immediately understand what this is all about. And by the gear for this podcast, who is there? We have a guy who's helping us along. Who are you? Please tell us.
I am Martin Lindeskog, and I'm a podcaster.
Yes, you are Martin Lindeskog.
Episode number 104.
104.
Wow. And we have been på riktigt by Karin Coach.
Yes. And we have been podcasting for 5 years now, and I'm so happy to have Mårten Berbres here in our show today because he has such an important message to the world. And that's why we are speaking English now, because we had recently an episode in Swedish. And Sweden is a small, nice country in the north on this globe, where it's quite cold now. But in the same timeline, if you fly down to South Africa, I suppose it's quite warm and nice, isn't it, Mårten?
Yes, today it's a beautiful weather here. And then, you know, like this, yeah, they are going into the summertime now. They are totally opposite in all weathers and climate. If you compare it to Sweden. So this is so, I have 28 degrees today. So yes. It's a nice day. And it's hot in here.
Yes.
Sitting here with you.
Oh,
but it's good.
I can imagine. I like it. And yeah. I can imagine how lovely it is because the Nordic countries, they are quite cold. And we have gray weather and like it's in November in Sweden. And despite all the weather talk, we are very interested in listening to you about Do to Get. How did this all start? Can you tell us, Mårten? What is it?
It's quite a funny story. It's more like a friend of mine back from Sweden, and he's been traveling over all the world in many years. He's been working for SIDA, and he was grew up in Brazil, and now he's living in United States. So like, but he was telling me like 2023 in January, he told me, Mårten, I think you should do something else. You're just working and you're working hard and you just got divorced and you have your two sons. They have been, you know, growing up and they are doing their own thing. I think you should do something else. And he was really encouraging me to, and he told me like, if I were you, I should go to South Africa. I had more like the idea that, yeah, if I should go somewhere, I should go to United States, California or something like that. But he really encouraged me to go to South Africa. And it was because mainly two reasons. It was like, mm-hmm. because it's so very beautiful, it's green and, you know, it's the climate and oceans and everything. But also he told me like, it's very friendly people. They are very mm-hmm. friendly people there. So, and I felt, okay. That should be something. And this was in January, but it took a long while, you know, try to get contacts and everything. But in the end, I find some ideas and find some people that invited me to come to South Africa.
Wow. Wow. And is this Kenneth from Norrköping?
Yes, this is Kenneth from Norrköping. And and it was it's so funny because like the first time I talked with him was like in the middle of July. So from January to middle of July, I was trying to get something going for South Africa. But then we had a talk one night and he told me like just when I phoned him, like, it's quite amazing, Morten, that you've phoned me because we've been thinking for many years to start up a recycling thing. They are working around the church with the, in the community. They are doing a lot of things for the community. And they've been thinking to do something around the recycling. And and then he told me, like, but we don't know how to do it. We have like a spot. We have like, a, you know, like some land to work on. And we have some money, but we don't know how to do it. And for me, the first seconds when I heard it, oh, no, not recycling. You know, I've been working with recycling since 2008. So I felt like, why? Why recycling? But that was the start.
Oh, yes. This is really interesting because as I have listened to the Swedish version of what we are speaking about now, and as I have met you before, Morten, there is, I can almost see a map in front of me of how this whole event is created for you. Because how did the two of us, you and me, how did we meet up? What happened?
It was also quite fun. You know, we met up just in a like leadership gathering at Öckerö, yes, in Sweden, in the west coast, in Sweden. And we had like a day, and I remember that you and I were sitting like in a group work, if I don't teamwork with it, we had some hour and we start talking, and I really felt like the energy that you had, and you saw the energy in me, and it was something like started up in our conversation. Yes. And that also ended up like we had some really lessons together, and I've been very encouraging. And I think the thing is to focus on the things that you are good at, and I think you're one of them that have learned with that, like, you know, in focus on your strength, focus on the things that you are, where you have your strengths. And I think like the thing here, what is happening now in my life and the steps that I'm taking, I feel like I'm just going for it, but I think I'm going for it in the ways that I'm have the most experience. Quite easy.
Yes.
I don't need to study hard. It's more like I'm just going with the flow and using all the experience that I've learned.
Yes, exactly. And that's where my map comes into the picture for myself when you have been talking about this and telling about how everything has evolved. And I can see that were that point and then that point with Kenneth from Norrköping. And the two of us met. And you started to figure out, what is it that I really want to do? What is it that really matters for me? Do you remember?
Yeah.
And you wanted to do more than just serve soup.
Yeah. And I, because that was the first thing I thought of, like maybe go to South Africa 2 months, serve some soup and like some, hang around with some people. But when we started with this idea, I was thinking about it for 3 days, and then I decided, okay, let's go into this. And then I talked to Kenneth, and the day after that, we started up to talk with the people in South Africa and to plan how can we start up something around Do to Get. So that's where really the start, and I went here the first time in the autumn, November, and since then I've been here 5 times, and this year 2025 I'm almost been here now for 5 months in 2 different times.
Oh yes. Oh wow. And I'm thinking about the you who listen to this, what pictures you will have in your mind when you listen to us, what's evolving inside you. And I really encourage you to go to Do to Get on Instagram, because there are films, there are photos where you can follow this journey and keep on following this, because I know that Morten has put a really interesting goal for this. And before we go into that specific goal with a specific date, I'd like to hear if Martin has something to add, because you haven't had the time to say anything.
Yeah,
please, Martin.
As a new media advisor, and we said that in this Swedish episode also, it will take some time, but when it will come globally, international, but check out VEO, Value Each Other. That's a new media social platform that you could earn something if you do something and you appreciate the content
like
creators. Where together with Instagram, the big tech, you could do something new and fresh. And that's also to reflect on things. Who is creating something? And as you said, the soup kitchen, we have here in the notes that that could be an episode by itself. And in the Swedish one, you talked about the power and the commodity of rice flour. So I have some, in order to do something and to get something, how much do you have to do in order to get cash for trash in South Africa compared to other places in the world, Morten?
That's just a really good question. I can tell you, like, the challenge is that you need a lot of volume. You know, through my experience around recycling, and I've been working for recycling for many years, and we're always talking about volume. It's all about volume, because the margin is always low around in the trash business. But if you get the volume, the money will come in it, and the margin will come in it. And I think that that I see that this is a big challenge to do this in a country that is not working with those things at all. No one knows, no education. It's very little education around recycling in whole South Africa, and I think even in the other African countries too. But I see that it is, I think it is such an opportunity, and they need to do it. You know, like we are doing in Sweden, they really need to do it. So I see that, and I can see, like, I'm here, I'm not here in the beginning, but because they have done something, but I can see that if you can come in here and stay here and be here and educate and get people involved and bring the people and get the leadership going and then I see that also that the business opportunity will come in a stronger way, and also that we can earn something. So that, but for me, it's more like, if we earn it, I want to give it even more into and back to the people, to help the people, because my real goal is to, how can we get people into work?
Yes.
How can we get people into to be employed and to work and have something for the future to get going?
Mm. Oh, here's my applause coming up. As you know, I usually start to dance when you say your wonderful things. And, you know, this is so, so beautiful. And this is in a small scale yet, but it has the potential for evolve and grow and be really, really big. And this is for real. And I really like, I can compare what we spoke about in the episode in Swedish.
Yeah,
where you told us that people around in South Africa, they are so friendly, they are so nice, and they collaborate. It's easy for them to do something together. Something that we struggle with in the Sweden, in Nordic countries, because we are so much in our own. But here you learn when you are in South Africa, you learn how to adapt and how to learn together, back and forward in the culture thing, because it's, of course, it's big difference.
Yeah.
And this is so important. So important for how to make it function, not just words. You have to make it real.
Yeah, and also how to make this thing work with these people, with this culture, and what they are like, and how they're doing it.
Yes.
And I think, like, you know, me coming from Sweden, we can't just say that, oh, here, we come from Sweden, we do everything the best. It's more like, it's so much 80% listen and 20% like. And that's not easy for me. I can tell you that. I want to do and I want to go for it and drive it. But I can still see, like, because it's only I really learning that, and you know, I was learning that also from, you know, earlier in my life as being a manager and so. But it's, you can always come as far as the people has taking it in, into their mind and into their soul and into their body to realize. Okay, so I'm into that right now, exactly with my people, with my team, in Jacksonville where we are working. I have a small team there, and I can see that's so true. It's so, I can't, you know, because my head and my vision and my thoughts, they are far away, but I can't. Yes. I need to always try to work every day, like, what is the next step? And I'm learning, like, the next step is always at your feet.
Yes.
You can have the vision, you can look up, but then your next step is always at your feet.
Yes, exactly. So, and we worked, just like a parallel, we worked on this specific issue when you are a leader, how to manage these two way energies going forward or having to step back a little bit to let go of what's evolving. So that's very interesting and nice to hear. And I would like to highlight the women. You have been talking so much about this lovely women who has been the kind of foundation in the start. Isn't that right?
Yes, Walter? It's really right. And if I go back to the soup kitchen ladies, you know, like those soup kitchen ladies has been working for this like in 10 years. They have had the soup kitchen in Jacksonville in a really poor township area where they serve in like, we have always been saying the last day like 1,500. But I can see like now when we are counting, it's more like 2,000, 2,500 people every week that we are giving out food to. And those ladies has been there. They you know, working in the pots and lots of food for many years. And they have been so faithful. They don't get anything out of it. It's like a totally 100% volunteer work. But they are doing it because they will serve the community. And I can see that it's the women, they are the really strong ones into see this and how to work with this. And I'm so disappointed for all the men. Actually, I'm really disappointed to be a man, to see how the man is not involved. And that's my biggest challenge now, to see how can we get the man involved in this. And it's the women, and the women bring the kids in, and the kids like this. Like working with recycling is like playing a game for them.
Yes.
And I see, and they have something to do in the afternoon when they come back from work. And I said, school. Come from back from school. They can go out and they can pick up some, you know, trash in a bag and sort it. And then when they come to the soup kitchen, they will get like chips or lolly, small chips or lolly. And in Sweden, everybody's telling me, that's not good. You should have like what will happen with their teeth and so. But you know, these kids has never eaten candy in their whole life. So for them, it's more like an energy thing and it's a fun thing to do. It's not that we will destroy the teeth. And I think like, and also I can see in the end, it's not, you know, 10 times they will have a lolly, but the elf 12 times, they instead want to have the maize meal because they know that the food is more important than just to have a candy. So I can see that it's a very small scale, but I can see it can grow. And I can see that we are into the mindset already to change the mindset, to push the culture and also take the steps. But back to the women, I see that the women are the ones that they are coming every day supporting because they know what they need and they are really taking responsibility to get food for the kids and for the family.
Yes, I see. That's it's so beautiful to hear this. And the learning thing and the leadership thing you are talking about. And for the listeners who haven't maybe not yet seen the Instagram and seen the pictures, how you developed this, could you please tell us how did you start with the learning? What trash should be picked up and which one would be left out? And so give us a picture to be...
2023, when I was there, I was, you know, trying to learn, speaking to people out in township and some organizations that working around recycling and other ideas out in the township, and to just to learn where are they? Where are they in their education mm-hmm. level around this? And also I met like 10, 15 recycling companies, both in Port Elizabeth and other cities in South Africa. And I could see like, yeah, but these things is going like in the companies, mm-hmm. there many of the companies are doing recycling in the cities, but not so much with other, in the people area. So, but then the organization told me like, if I were you, I should start with a cleanup, have a mm-hmm. cleanup day. So mm-hmm. the second time I came there, we had this Saturday morning, a cleanup in Jacksonville, mm-hmm. and we was trying to invite the community. And my goal was like, we should be 150 people. And mm-hmm. Russell is a friend of mine. He told me, oh, no, Mort, you will never get 150 people to have this cleanup. Yeah, but what can we do? And I said, if we give them some food, will they come? Yeah, if you give them food, everybody will come. So then we can't say like what we should serve, just that they will get something. Mm-hmm. So, but in the end, we were 150 people. And when we, mm-hmm. and then we went out, and for 1 hour, we picked up 450 bags of recycling, like big 240 liters plastic bags.
Wow. Wow.
And we had like 250 of those bags we could sort. And we had 10 minutes, I see only 10 minutes of education around recycling.
Yes.
And people went out with such an energy, like, you know, and that's what you talked about, like, you know, people start to sing and they helped each other.
Yes.
And when we came back,
exactly.
we had a big, like loads of plastics bag. And then people are staying in the lane and just throw the bag into the truck so they can go away with that. It was so natural. And when
yes.
I saw that, then I saw, yes. I felt like in my heart and I felt like, okay, this will work.
Mm.
If we do it in this way, this will work. So that was actually my first experience. And what I have done since then is more like I've been working out from the soup kitchen, that we have been mm-hmm. telling the people, instead of just coming to get soup, they get the soup for mm-hmm. free. And I can really mm-hmm. see in this culture, people are not, you know, instead of they are really thankful for every time, they almost get more angry when it's Christmas time and the soup kitchen ladies is not there because they have vacation. So, mm-hmm. and I can see that mindset is something that we can help to change. And it's mm-hmm. a mindset I can see that's it's in that culture. That's a different mm-hmm. because if you compare it to Sweden, we don't mm-hmm. have that.
Yes.
We have more like you should do something to earn something.
Yes.
But
yes.
I can see that what we started with was like if we started up with some maize meal, if people come with recycling, and they have, you know, plastic mm-hmm. and PET bottles and different kinds of things in it, then mm-hmm. we will give them a cup of maize meal. And a cup of mm-hmm. maize is like 5 deciliter. And let's start mm-hmm. with that. And that's mm-hmm. what we are playing with. And mm-hmm. and let's growing. And also right now we are working in to find some secondhand clothes. So instead of people can buy clothes for money, they can mm-hmm. buy the clothes for maybe like two plastic bags of recycling. You can get a pair of shoes or a t-shirt or something else. It's more like you're playing with it.
Yes. Oh, that's wonderful. You put play, you put joy, you put value into this process. That's wonderful. It's wonderful, beautiful, and wise of you, and I appreciate it so much. And I, for my vision, I see this 3-year-old little boy. I've seen these pictures, and you told me about how you learned them, what to pick and what to leave out. Can
yes.
you tell us a little about that?
Yeah,
how did you learn them? This 10 minutes.
It's more like, you know, because you can't. These people are not like put them in a classroom and then studying them. It's more like when I've been talking, well, what should we do? And it's more like, yeah, but it's better when they're standing in the lane and waiting for the mm-hmm. food. Like, let's go and talk to them then and just give them a small instruction, and they know,
yes.
and then they will do it. And so it's more like we're working so easy in that way. And also, for example, we're working in a very, very poor area. It's called Kuno. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. And Kuna is a lady called Cindy. She's my superhero, and she's working. Mm. He has 27 children in a small house every day, like in kindergarten. And oh. What she's doing, she's almost every day taking the children out for a walk. And during that walk, they pick up the recycling. So she have teach them how to do this in a very practical, easy way. And I can see that's also what we can do in other areas. And also, you know, I can see like when people get it, I can see it's growing small. Yes. I say that it's not 100, it's more like 10 people. I need to find that joy that for 10 people I'm taking next step. It is this way. I can't, back to that thing, like you can't move further than the people understands where they are.
Exactly. And I can't help but think about the sustainability and all the global goals we have in mind. This comes to me when you talk about this, how we need to do things more wisely and realize that this is how it works. And I also was thinking about, you said Cindy, that's a wonderful woman that I would really like to meet. Wow. And it's what something else I thought about. Something.
Let me tell you something, because what I'm seeing is like, can I just say, because if we just change the perspective very quick, if we take when I'm talking about this, taking this step by step with the people, if you change the perspective to see South Africa, it's 66 million people, and they are right now still taking 95% of all recycling, all waste, all general waste, all kinds of waste to landfill. Mm-hmm. Just dump it. They are going to dump it in different places. And as you know, in Sweden, we have 4%. Mm-hmm. We've been working for many years with this. And I can see that, you know, we are working with textile. We're working with very small questions if you compare.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I can really see how and they need to do this exactly the same journey as we have done before. And I can see that if we, like, you know, with my experience, and I think there should be much more people from Sweden coming in to see how we can come in and help, because we can help in that way to see how to do this and to start recycling in a good way. And I think, and I see that I'm working both from this low perspective, but I've been talking to the embassy and Business Sweden, and I've been really got so much help from the other level to work from the upside down, or from the downside up, you know, to find that way. So I see that we need to work from both sides into this.
Yes.
But I know that South Africa need to take the same steps as we have done.
Yes.
And it will not be easy to do it the political way. So it's more needs to be done about from people and from companies.
Yes.
From the companies. That's the way this will go. Just to change the perspective, because I see that you need to play in those different, and I'm living areas. In those different perspectives every day. You know,
yes, I see.
How can I help those people here? But also, how can I change it in a bigger picture? Yes.
And that's fantastic. And to make this shift between these areas where you move around, and to make this mindset, to shift this mindset from within people. That's the important thing.
Yeah.
On the ground, and really make them understand. And I was... now I remember what I was, I had a little hook where I was thinking about, how did you get the idea about this mice meal? Why was it mice meal?
Yeah, it was actually another guy in the area, because I see that who will come up with the idea? It will definitely not be me, because I don't know this area. So someday it was a guy that was helping he had like a trolley where he picked up recycling every day. He was retired and he was just doing this as a thing. And one morning he came up to me and said, Morten, I've been thinking about this morning that maybe if we could start just giving some small package of food to people. That could be a start. And in that, we thought about rice, we thought about, meal or different kinds of things. But then when I talked to the soup kitchen ladies, they was just like 100% maize meal, because from maize meal, you can do 5 different kinds of things for meat, and porridge and not meat, but your meal, 5 different kinds of meals. So I think that's why we started with that. And it's not the end. In the end, my really hope is that we should pay people, will not say money, but I will say work in any way. And just like you, right now, we are developing, we have something we call waste pickers. People coming in, and we have a trailer and a truck, and we send them out where we have seen lots of garbage that we can find. And they work, and for every 45 bag, listen to this, every 45 bag of recycling, they got 100 rand in a food package. And 100 rand is like 50 Swedish crowns. And you can see in that perspective, it's ridiculous. But that's people in those areas, it's 85% unemployment in the area. And this is a way to start.
I'm not
satisfied, and I can feel quite embarrassed. Is this the way we should start? But I see this is I need to follow. I can do what I want. I need to follow the rules in the areas, in the community.
Yes.
Because if I start to pay too much, then when they realize that in the reality, you will not get so much out of it. Because if you look in the business perspective of this recycling, it's a very immature market. So you will not get as much paid for like cardboard or plastic in South Africa as we are doing, for example, in Sweden. So all of this needs to grow in their own way.
Sorry for interrupting you. I'm having a little glimpse on the clock here, and I said about 30, maybe I said we usually have our episodes about 30 minutes, and we are going forward here. And before I let you say something, Martin, I need to ask Morten about Stena. How is Stena connected to this, and what is Stena? I think people should know about Stena.
Yeah, that's a good question. Yeah, I've been working for Stena since 2008, and Stena Recycling is the, I'm proud to say, we are the biggest recycling company in Sweden, I think. And the thing with Stena in Sweden is we are not just pick up the recycling. We also take care of it in many ways, in the whole value chain. And we have built a big fabric in Halmstad where we're taking care of around like 90-95% of the car, everything of a car. So it's more like we try to do these things that can really, so we can work it through and make it happen the whole way. And and I've been working here since 2008, started as a sales in the sales force, and then I went working like in the headquarters for a while. But then since 2015, I've been a branch manager in a city called Linköping. So, and I've been developing the things that we are working with there in different kinds of ways. I also can see when I'm coming here, my experience is quite good because I can see that I know all the questions. I know all the questions about employees and where to sell and how to work with the production and all of those kind of questions. So it seems like in that way it's a good combination. And I'm very proud of Stena, and I have very also learning a lot around leadership. And we are talking very much about mandate. And this is more like I don't say in Swedish, but a mantra. Swedish mantra is more like how can we, you need to take ownership. And it's no one other's question. It's your question. And what can you do about it? Instead of thinking, what is Stena thinking about this question? It's more like, what are you thinking? And what you do in that thing? So I think that Stena really helped me to learn.
That's wonderful. And it's a general perspective today where we live in our world, because we have to take care of so much on our own in this world. And I can see this big gap between Sweden and South Africa, where there is so much learning in this gap to be curious of. How can we learn? How can Sweden learn from South Africa? And how can South Africa learn from Sweden, for instance? But there is so much to talk about. And I really would like to continue this conversation. I wonder, Martin, what would you like to say?
Yeah, I could say like the expression walk the talk. So out, going out and see the trash at your feet and then pick it up and do to get. And the goodwill with that, you said the percentage, that 96% is in going to the landfill. And that, of course, could be a practical thing, and that's what how you used to do it. But then you could have big brands and corporations and companies that could look at that. How could they do a goodwill thing? And that's something to reflect on. And you had something, and I have something with podcasting 2.0, you could apply this to music. The famous stars like Taylor Swift, they got record deals and they have commissions in different ways selling records. But the small artists, how do they get? And where you have this value each other and value for value. You pay what you value it. And that's the thinking there. So I think that's a good thing with the Swifters, that you call them, the Taylor Swift, and you have a do-to-getters.
Yes.
So in the Swedish episode we talked about, and I have looked it up, maybe you could correct me, Morten, but the ball press in Swedish, but waste...
baler. It's a baler. It's a baler for to compact cardboard, for example, or pet bottles or something else. Yeah, yeah.
So, and you have a goal there, because here you do it like... In a smaller scale, but then you could scale up. So what do you need in order to do it in an effective, efficient way and getting cash for the trash? Could you tell a little bit about that? And how could people, organizations, others step in and help out?
Yes, it's really good that you mentioned that. And I really like this do-to-getters thing, because I see like... Why should just Swifters? Why should just stay the Swifters? Mm-hmm. And we can have two to get this, because I can see, you know, my goal is really that this should not be like an NPO organization or something like that. I want this to be in a company way. But you see, in the beginning, we got so little back when we are selling the recyclers. It will take a long, long while for us to really get people pay what they should need to get involved in this for real. So I see, as much we should come in and people will join. And I will not just say that people will give money, because it's more like if they will be a do-to-getters, you can be involved. Come down here, come and visit us and follow us, and also inspire your friends at home to get involved, because I can see that we can, from Sweden, we can make such an impact. And also from other countries, we can make such an impact in those areas. And this is for real. This is not a joke. And like I talked to the Swedish ambassador, the former Swedish ambassador, Håkan Juholt, and he told me like, no, you know, Morten, I've been at the embassy for 5 years. I've been seeing lots of things like, you know, theoretical feasibility studies, but I never heard of one doing something. And I'm in that way, I'm proud.
And you know, my applause is coming up here, because this is the thing, this is the ground, this is it, and what you do and how we can assist. And I know we talked about this ball press. I googled it, the ball press
baler.
That you need
baler
yes.
Baler, yes.
And how much money you need to get to have this, to make this get going even more. How much do you need for that?
We talked about the last time in the Swedish episode, like if we could get like 50,000 Swedish to buy a baler here, like, but that's, you know, small scale, but it's a start, and we need to do that. Like yesterday, last week, I was following us when we went to the recycling company and sold it. And we had a big trailer and big loads of white bags, like we call them, white bags. And when we was coming to the scale, it was like 170 kilo. You know, for 170 kilos, it's nothing. You know, when I'm telling my colleagues back in Sweden, they're laughing, you know, this will take you 1,000 years. And it will, in that way, this will take, it will never run. But if we started to compact, then one baler, one bale is 200 kilos. And then I can save that. And then we can be more effective with the transport.
Yes.
And, you know, you can see, like, that's the start.
Yes.
That's the start
yes,
to take the next
start.
Steps and... That's the start, and also, you know, with my experience, with my colleagues' experience at Stena, we maybe also we can sell the, you know, like the cardboard to some other countries or something in the beginning. That's not what you want to do, but if you can get some more out of it, so you can get more money back to the people, because
so the
that's
engine
my goal.
Will start
then we can have it
moving.
Then we can have it going.
Yes.
And we can have it going.
Yes.
And we can make some real change.
So how could the podcast help you with this, to make people be interested in, to contribute? How do they reach you easily?
I think they should really find me, easily find me at my our website.
Yes.
www.dotoget.com. And also at my Instagram account is more like dotoget.com. Syd Afrika is a Swedish pronouncing in that do to get Syd Afrika. And I think if you follow there, but also I think if you can just share these episodes to other people to see, because I can see it's a storytelling, and that's why I'm in here, because I see that it's a storytelling, and you need to be out there to speak about what you're doing as much as you're doing it. And for me, I really see, and, you know, like why we did this in this English version, I think is, you know, because I've met so many people in all kinds of levels here in South Africa. So if we can have this, and also you have know people in UK that are very interested. So I think this is a good way. And I think just in that case that we have this English version, it's really good.
Yeah, because... When the listeners get the perspectives and the picture of what's going on, how can I contribute to this? That will help the engine to get moving. And and I know that you have a date that is really, really interesting. And I think, I'm looking at the clock, and I hope you listeners are not tired of us, because it's running. Because there is a goal, you see, that is very specific with the date and what's going to happen. Could you please tell us about that, Morten?
I will tell you shortly. It is like 18th of April 2026. I have a goal that we should have a launching of a soccer field. I promised some guys 2024 that they asked me if I could help them with to building a soccer field. And I've been thinking a long time of that. And now we get some friends back in Sweden and other people get involved, so we have some money as a start, and I've been working with it very much since I came here in September. But this is tough. It's tough if you compare like you to get some proposal, to get some people involved and talk to the right people, to even to just to see how much will this cost to build this.
Yes.
And
yes.
And right now still my really goal is that in the 18th of April we should have the launching, and we should what we would like to, it's not just a soccer field like, you know, playing professional football. No, for me, it's more important that it should be light, because there's no lights at all in the township. And this area is more like it's 15,000 people living like in a 1 kilometers area. And then it comes to next town. And, you know, and it's just like 5 kilometers is maybe 50,000, 60,000 people. So if we can create this, because there's no soccer field, like have lightning. So I want to have lightning and I want to create something where people can come, you know, hang out, be there during the night. Maybe we can have a tournament during the whole night, and we can do these kinds of things. And I see that can really make a change and make an impact in the community. And I'm saying that this is not just a do to get soccer field. I really want this to be a community soccer field, because it's also like very important that if the community involved, it will stay there. if a community is not involved, they will steal everything. They will steal, you know, they will just take away the lights and everything. So it needs to be the secure thing from the community. So that is really my goal, and it's a hard work to get it done. And we need, for, in that case, also I see that the money that I'm having right now will not be enough. So if you want to be involved, and people will want to be involved in just this thing, and we will have a guy, so you should just have a podcast with this guy, Carver, a young guy that has been, he will be now our TikTok guy that will, we will follow the whole process around how we will build this soccer field and the steps that we will take and to get it done.
Yes. So that's wonderful. And so we have two things that we can really contribute with. It's Baylor and the soccer field and the whole project, and to spread the word about what's happening and how so much value and so much heart is involved in this project. And that's why I am so happy that it's in my podcast, because I will talk about things that really matters for the world and for the human being, the person. Martin, I have a feeling that you would like to say something as well.
And what I said before, value for value, that you, if you listen to this and value it, you could then contribute and give back in different ways, voluntarily. You could spread the good word, as you said, listen, ask your friend to listen to it, and you could help out promoting it. We could do something called this Podcasting 2.0 feature called Chapters, with like a different way of visualize something. It will be also a transcript, so you could read it for accessibility, and you could print it out or spread it or show somebody with the text.
Yes.
And that will also create the search engine optimization, but it will be found. So, we will put the podcast player on Do2Get and other places so you could find it on the internet.
Yes, that's really good.
Great.
And really good. Martin, where do we find you, if we would like to speak to you?
Yeah, in South Africa, the main beverage is rooibos, the red bush, the plant there. And I like that also.
Yes.
But I am a tea enthusiast, so my site is teaparty.media. So teaparty.media.
Yes. Yes. You can find me at my website, www.karincoach.se. Karincoach.se. If you're interested in my leadership, in my professional coaching, what I'm working with. And it has been such a joy to have you here again, Morten. And who knows?
Thank you.
Maybe we will have a broadcast in South Africa one day.
That should be a goal. That should be a really goal.
Yeah.
And you are really welcome. Come here and join. And everybody listening to it, it's a nice place, and you can have the experience of your life, and you can be, actually, I think it could change your life.
Yes. I completely agree and totally believe you. So I used to have a special final in my way of sum up. Do you have something more that you would like to say before we make this final little twist I have? Is it something you feel that, I should say that, I should say that? Is it something that you have really
I just want to say that thing, like it is possible. And my goal is not just to do this in Jacksonville. My goal is that we can do this Do2Get thing, and we can create like a moment, not for me, but for people, that we can create a moment for people to, so that people can see that the recycling is a way to work and is a way for the future.
Oh, and I simply love it. And you, as I've said, told you many times, Morten, that I love trash.
Yeah, I know that.
Yes, I simply love the thing. And Marty, do you have something more?
No, I'm all good.
All good. So, dear listener, thank you for being with us. And thank you for spreading this word and take it out there. And I used to say, let us together the listener, Morten, Martin, and myself, go out there and do the world a little bit better, a little bit more joyful, and a little bit more beauty and great fun, because you are there. Bye-bye.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
Cheerio. Bye-bye. See you around.